nice to see you this morning and to be here. I'm trying to think when the last time I was here was. It must be 12 months ago-ish. Yeah? Yeah. It comes up on the calendar, does it? It's January, get Chris to come. Yes. No, it's really nice to be here. My auntie isn't here this morning. You know, she's not been well. She's actually in hospital today. She's undergoing some tests and having some scans. So hopefully something will come of that. But she loves this place and she misses you all. Let's pray. Father, open your word to us this morning. Help us to hear what you have to say, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be changed by the power of your Spirit, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. One of the things about getting old, and I was 70 last year, which I suppose to you lot is not very old, is that increasingly everything's new. You know, there's new stuff all the time. A friend of mine who's never had Wi-Fi got Wi-Fi this year, and he's got a little tablet that he doesn't really do any searching or anything like that. He plays games on it. He plays word games on it mostly. And then his grandchildren come home from school and he minds them and they get his tablet and they're off, you know, into another world. And so often we are not happy with change. We can't cope with it. Something new comes into our life and it sort of like that. It sort of disrupts everything that we know and understand. And yet, God, this is the thing, God says of himself that I am the Lord, I do not change. So he's a constant in our lives, and his standards and his character and his expectations of us don't change. But the way that he does things changes. New every morning is the love that over and around us lies. We sing that song sometimes, but it is a truth that God's love for us is new every morning. And that's one of the wonders about the renewing of God's love each morning for us. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, he says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it?" And sometimes we don't see what God is doing. And this is what he says in Isaiah, "I'm making a way in the wilderness, a stream in the desert." God is at work in the world. He's at work out there. And we don't see it because we're looking for him to be at work in here. You know, we are God's people and we want him to do a work amongst us. Actually, he's doing a work out there and he's saying, "Do you not see it? Come and join me. Come and work where I'm working. Come and meet the people that I know. Come and share the love of Christ with those who desperately need to know it." Like, I don't know about the story of this guy who's lying on the parapet of the bridge on the M60 that we prayed for at the beginning. But you've got to be really desperate to do that kind of thing. He's obviously crying out for help. I heard a footballer on the radio last year talking about mental health in the football. I work in the football industry. And he said, I used to hate to get up in the morning. I didn't want to get out of bed. And when I got up, my first thought was, I can't wait to get back to bed. I'm a bit like that myself. She's not got anything. He was severely depressed. I just like my bed. But it's difficult for us to grasp that people are like that. People don't know a God who loves them, don't know about a God who cares for them. At the present moment, in my church, I'm leading an Alpha course. And it's we're doing it by the videos. And we did the section where they talk about God caring for people and God being interested in people and God coming and knocking on the door of people's hearts and just waiting for people to open the heart's door to come in and be with them. And when we watched the video and then we sort of have a discussion, and one guy said, you know, that's common knowledge to us. We understand that. You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's one of those foundation scriptures that we learn when we're children. And we've all seen the picture of Holman Hunt's painting with a door with no handle on the outside. And this guy said, why has nobody ever told us this before? Why has nobody ever told us this before? Because we're keeping it locked up inside our churches, and God's at work outside. He's at work in the world. How do we perceive what God is doing? In Acts chapter 10, there's a story of Peter and Cornelius, about their encounter, about God leading Peter to Cornelius' house, about God giving Cornelius a visitation from an angel, and the angel saying, go and get Peter, bring him here. In the middle of it, there's this conversation between God and Peter. Peter goes up onto the roof of his house, the house where he's staying, to pray. And in the course of his praying, he sees a vision. And the vision is of a great sheet that comes down from heaven, and it's filled with all the animals of the earth. And God says to Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no. Can't do that. These are banned animals. We can't associate with them. So God sends the sheet down a second time. Vision's repeated a second time. Peter says, no, can't do that. How can I associate with those things? Those are unclean things, Lord. And a third time, God sends down the vision of the sheet. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, can't do that. I can't do that. It's against the law. And God says to Peter, don't call unclean what I have created. Peter finishes his time of prayer, and then he hears that there's three men standing at the door who want to have a word with him. And he goes down, and they're the messengers from Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius, number one, he's a Roman. Number two, he's a centurion. He's a leading officer in the forces of occupation that are oppressing Israel. It's unclean. It's a barrier that you cannot cross. You know, here's Peter. He's a Jew. And so far, the Christian story has been confined to the Jewish people, the people who were in Jerusalem at the time when Jesus was crucified, the people who'd heard the message from the people who were there. But basically, it was people who were in Jerusalem. It was a small group. It was a group of people who knew God and knew the law and knew what God expected of them. And also knew that God didn't want them associating with Gentiles. Cornelius was a Gentile. That was the third thing. took Peter some courage to say, okay, God is speaking in this. The vision and the visit of these men are connected in some way. He goes to Cornelius's house. And even then, when he gets to Cornelius's house, he's got a decision to make, because the Jews are not supposed to go into the houses of Gentiles. They're not supposed to cross the threshold. They're not supposed to go in to the place where you might be invited to eat something that's not clean. Something might happen if you go through that door that might contaminate your clean spirit. And break your relationship with God. So Peter had a decision to make. Do I cross the threshold? Do I actually go in? I'm here now. I'm at the door. Do I go in? And when he went in, he found the Holy Spirit was there waiting for him. Because he begins to speak to the people gathered in that room and in that house about Jesus. He begins to speak about God's love. And as he's speaking, the Holy Spirit falls upon those people and they began to speak in tongues, just as the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. God is at work. How do you see what he's doing? How do you perceive it? How do you understand it? How do you know where to go? I was in a conversation. It was a meeting that had been called by Macclesfield Police and the community. And I was there because I'm chair of an organisation called Hope in North East Cheshire, which is 39 churches who are combined together for mission. And we were talking about the estates around Macclesfield. Macclesfield's only a small town, really. And there are four estates. Used to be council houses, now it's social housings, whatever you call it these days. But there are four estates around the town. And they are problem estates very often because of the poverty, because of the problems that afflict people, because of drugs and violence, to be honest. And I was astounded to hear the chief superintendent saying the biggest problem he's got on one of the estates is County Line's drug dealers coming out from Manchester. Keep them here, will you? Drug dealers coming out from Manchester. Have you heard the term cuckooing? Yeah, no? It's where drug dealers will come into an area, onto an estate. They'll target vulnerable people, lonely people. They'll befriend them. They'll go into their homes. They'll take over their homes, just like a cuckoo takes over a nest. And they'll begin to sell drugs from their homes. And he said that's our biggest problem on this particular estate. It's County Lines. It's drug dealers coming out from Manchester, cuckooing on vulnerable people in the estate and selling drugs from their houses. And I was appalled. My first thought was, no, well, I'm not going there, because, you know, that kind of thing makes me afraid. Because I live alone. I'm a vulnerable person. I might appear quite strong and upright in front of you lot, but when I'm alone in my own home, I know that there's a vulnerability there. My second thought, and perhaps this is the right kind of thought, was maybe that's exactly where the church should be. Befriending those vulnerable people before they get targeted by people who are going to do unscrupulous things in their homes. And we can do that. That's a simple thing. Befriend somebody. Go where you're uncomfortable, but it may be where God is at work. And I believe that God is doing something new in our land, in our communities these days. And sometimes it's as simple as recognizing the opportunities that God puts before us. I'm the chaplain of Macclesfield Town Football Club. They are third from the bottom in EFL League 2, which is the old fourth division. We're only third from the bottom because we had 6 points deducted from us. The club is in turmoil. We had 6 points deducted from us because the players went on strike. They went on strike because they're not being paid. I was in a meeting with the players and they were discussing what they should do. You know, that they hadn't been paid for, this was the second month that they hadn't been paid. And they wanted to do something and they didn't know what to do. So they were talking about strike and about not playing that Saturday, about not training. And the manager was there and he was trying to say, you know, but you know, it's your careers and all of that stuff. And I really felt God prompt me. So I stood up and I said to the manager, do you mind, Daryl, if I say something? And he said, no, go ahead, Chris. And I said, I believe in the power of prayer to change things, to change this situation that we're in right now. And I said, I'm going to go upstairs now and pray. And if any of you want to come and pray with me, that would be great. But if not, I'll go and pray on my own. And I'm not going to pray for the club. I'm going to pray for you, for your families and your futures, and for your careers. And on with that, I turn around and I walk out the dressing room. And I went upstairs to a little room I'd already identified where I could pray, and I heard this voice on the stairs. Where's the priest gone? And eventually five players came in to pray with me. Now that took courage from those guys. They had to come out of their, you know, from amongst their mates, follow this mad guy who believes in prayer, and come upstairs and pray. And we pray together. Following on from that prayer meeting, a little prayer meeting, it wasn't long. One of the guys stopped me and said, can I have a word? I said, yeah. So we sat down and he opened up to me and I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. And sometimes it is as simple as that. You know, God wants you to pray for your neighbours and your friends. And sometimes he just prompts you about a certain circumstance or a certain situation. It's up to us to take those opportunities and not to be afraid. But sometimes we just don't see them. I'm doing a new thing, God says. Do you perceive it? Do you see it? Do you understand it? Can you see that I'm at work? Can you see that I'm making a way in the wilderness that I'm doing something completely new, that I'm making a pathway where there wasn't a pathway, that I'm making a roadway where there wasn't a roadway, where it was just the desert place. I'm making a way. And I'm causing streams to flow. And it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to look at the church and think, it's just going down and down and down. And I go to lots of places and I see lots of congregations where, to be honest, the average age is probably older than I am. And it is disheartening. But I also go and see places where God is at work. And they're not always in the church. I've got a footballer who always, he's always the first one to take the mickey out of me. And his usual approach, I've probably told you this before, but his usual approach is, all the guys come up to me and shake my hands and say, how's it going, Chris? I said, I'm fine, I'm fine, you know, I don't get paid, so I'm all right. And he says, Chris, how the devil are you? So we usually say, I'm fine, how are you, you know. Last time he said it, he said, Chris, how the devil are you? I said, I'm fine, Michael, and I'm sure he knows how well you are. And he laughed and doing his running. Last Friday, players were training, and this guy was walking past me, and I put my hand out, shook his hand, and said, how are you? I was in first, you see. How are you? I said. He said, I'm not good. He's coming to the end of his career, you know, so he's not getting regular games. He's on the bench quite a bit, but he doesn't get called on. He doesn't get brought on. He's just, and the manager's more or less made it clear that he's not going to be using him. And he said, I can't get a game. I just want to get a game. You know, footballers, that's what they do. They want to get a game. They don't want to be sat on the bench or our reserve or making up the numbers when they're training. I want to play. I said, I know how frustrating it must be, Michael. He said, he's quite a good player. And then he said, and my dad's in A&E. I said, oh, what's the matter? He said, well, he thinks it's kidney stones. I said, well, do you want me to pray? And he said, that would be nice. So I said, well, I'll pray now. He went off doing his training. I saw him yesterday at the match and said, how's your dad? Oh, he's okay, thanks. You know, it's all over now. He's okay, don't need you anymore. But that's exactly how it is. But in a moment there, can you see it? God is at work. God's doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? Do you grasp it? Peter had to cross over the threshold. He had to go into a very uncomfortable situation. For him, a strict Jew, to go into a Roman's house, it just wasn't done. But God was at work in that man's life. And God was at work in that man's house. And God was at work in that man's family. And God was at work in that man's company of soldiers. Because one of the men who came to visit Peter, to ask him to come, was a soldier from that man's company who was devout and worshipped God. But they hadn't yet heard of Jesus and what God had done. Where is God guiding the IMs in Roman Road? Where is God at work? Maybe amongst the houses just around here. Where is God doing a new thing with your neighbors and your friends or your family even? Do you perceive it? Can you see it? Can you take those opportunities when they come? Can you say, I will not be afraid? I will exercise my faith. I will respond when people call. Look for what God is doing and get involved. Because you may find that all your fears are calmed when you cross that threshold. For God's already there, waiting for you. When Peter went into Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit was waiting for him. And that group of people in Cornelius' house who were not yet Christians, let's remember that, they were not yet Christians, heard the good news of the gospel of Christ as Peter preached, and the Holy Spirit came upon the whole household, and they were changed. And they became Christians, followers of Christ. What about your friends, families, neighbors who are not yet Christians? Can you take the opportunity that God gives to share with them the good news of the gospel of Christ, that God loves them and cares for them and has a purpose for their lives? And if they say to you, why has nobody told us this before? You can say to them, because the time wasn't right, but now it is. Now it's right. Now God is doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, he says, and streams to flow in the desert places. Be encouraged and be courageous in Jesus' name.